Good morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're glad that you're here. I do want to make sure to repeat, as Ken said, that I am not the regular preacher, that our newly hired preacher should be with us next Sunday morning. If you would turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. If I had to put a title on my lesson this morning, yes, I would say God's cure for snake bite. I know that would make it difficult for a song leader to pick out songs. I don't know of any songs in our book that deal with snake bite. But I do appreciate the opportunity to speak this morning. I hope we all get something out of our lesson. Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. So we see in this short episode, the people of Israel, that they had sinned against God and against Moses with their complaining. So God sent fiery serpents among the people to bite them. And many of the people in Israel died. After several had died, not so many had died, they repented. Finally saw that what they had done was wrong and repented of their sins and asked Moses for help in this matter. Moses prayed to God. God told Moses to make a fiery serpent, and that anyone, people would live, anyone who looked at this serpent would live. So the people had to meet God's terms here in order to live. For us, we have a similar situation. God has told us how to be saved. God has given us instructions in the New Testament what we may do in order to live with Him eternally. And we must obey Him from the Scriptures in order to be saved. He has provided a victory for us over sin in the New Testament. In the New Testament, He sent us His Son. He sent us Jesus to die for our sins so that one day, if we obey His will, that we can live with Him eternally. Jesus suffered for our sakes. He went through four different times of suffering on His way to dying for us. He first of all went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed to God three different times, "Not my will, but thine be done, but let this cup pass from me if possible." We've all had times in our lives which we had stress in our lives. And in this case for Jesus, it said His sweat was like great drops of blood. Then He was taken into custody by the Jewish leaders and taken in and had blindfolded and struck, persecuted, told, "Who is that that hit you?" Then the Roman soldiers came and got him. They abused him. They took a reed and struck him. They took him and they beat him with a whip. In some cases, people who were beaten like that did not live. And then, at the end, our Savior was put on a tree, on the cross, where He died for our sins. So our Savior came to this earth and He suffered so that we may one day live with God. To get relief from our sins, though, we must do something. We must obey God. If you will turn over and read with me in Acts chapter 2, I'm sure most all of you are very familiar with this, but I want to read it anyway, since it is from God's Word and it does tell us what we have to do. The same thing applies to us that applied to the people on the day of Pentecost, where Peter was preaching to the people. And as he wrapped up his lesson, he said, starting in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself.' And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." Notice that in verse 41 it says, "those who received his word," not "those who rejected his word." Those who received his word were baptized, were obedient unto the gospel. As a result of being baptized, which most of us in this audience have done, we have an opportunity to live with God and with Christ for eternity. However, as most of us are aware of, we must live our lives pleasing Him. We don't believe that once saved, always saved. We believe that as Christians, we must be faithful unto death. Turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 1. This is one of my favorite passages. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. First John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." If you look at verses 8 and 10, kind of go together. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But in verse 10 we say, if we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. We all know that we sin. We know that we sin. There's no question about that. But getting people to admit that they sin or they do certain things that are wrong is more difficult. If I ask you if you
sin if you became angry when you shouldn't have become angry? Of course, yes, we can admit that. But if we get specific with people on certain things that they may have done and try to talk to them about things, sinned, and sometimes that's a little more difficult to people to say, yes, I've done that. We need to be able to see in our lives where we are in error and be willing to confess our sins to each other and to God, to ask God to pray for it, to ask God to forgive us of our sins as we pray to Him. We walk in the light as He is in the light. God is in the light. Satan is in darkness. God cannot sin. God cannot have anything to do with sin. Satan is all about sin. We must walk in the light as God and Jesus is in the light. It says that we must confess our sins and God will forgive us. We admit our sins and strive to do better. And God will forgive us. In John, 1 John chapter 3, 9 and 10, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is one who does not love his brother. We must practice righteousness to show that we are of God. In the Old Testament, we have a couple of examples of people who were willing to show their faith by what they did. Turn with me to James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. James, the second chapter, verses 14 through 26. As we strive to please God, we must look to His will. As the people look to the snake to be healed, we must look to God's word and obey it. This is a couple of examples of what people did in the Old Testament. We must apply to ourselves to follow God's word. Beginning in verse 14 of James 2. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the devils believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. All of us that are here have faith. I trust you wouldn't be here unless we had faith. But we need to show our faith through our works. Abraham offered Isaac. Think about what he did. If someone asked fathers in this audience, could you offer your son for someone else? If you were asked to offer your son, could you do that? Extremely difficult. You know how much you love your pets. Could you give a pet up for somebody else? Abraham offered Isaac. He offered his son. Not only did he offer his son, but he had a long time to think about it as he journeyed to that spot. And once he was there, he was still willing to obey God. Rahab the harlot helped God's people when they needed help so they could escape and be free. In James it says, in verses 15 and 16, it says, What good is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? If we had a natural disaster here, and say Mike and Angela Scrimshire lost their home, they lost everything. And I called him on the phone and said, boy, Mike, I hate it that this happened to you. Be warmed and filled, though. We're thinking about you. That's not what this scripture implies. The scripture teaches that we must do what's necessary to help those who are in need. Other things that we may do that help others, we give our money here. That money helps the congregation here to take care of maintenance and other things. It also goes toward helping other preachers to spread the gospel. It also helps the needy. We don't necessarily have to give our money here to help the needy or to help gospel preachers in other places. We can send money to preachers in other locations or people that are needy that may not be members here or maybe members here. We can give moral support. We can write notes to people who may have suffered a death in their family. They may have suffered heartbreak. People, families involved in an accident or injured or physical loss. Look with me at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 gives us a good list of how we can show our faith. Matthew 25 verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer Him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcomed you or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the King will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. A great example of the things that we need to do as Christians to carry out the will of God so that one day we can all live with Him eternally. Just like the people that were snake bit, they had to look to God and obey Him in order to be healed. For us, we must use His word and obey it, as we read in Acts He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you need to be baptized this morning, the invitation is for you. If you need the prayers of the congregation for sins, comfort, or whatever, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.